Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Brianna Approved podcast. We have a very special guest today on the podcast. We have Mike Krausen, who is an expert in brand marketing and helping to build your business. So Mike is the owner of AR Funnel, Fit Legacy Marketing Agency, and he actually just exited from his e-commerce business, Coffee Over Cardio, which we will get into today. He is an Alabama native, Roll Tide, I think that's what you used to say, who decided to move to New York City to chase his dreams of becoming an entrepreneur when he was just a young 22-year-old. From taking a leap at his full-time fitness career, moving from New York to LA to Dallas, a decade later, he has stories to tell how he came from being jobless to building a recognizable social media brand and how he continues to help other fitness coaches do the same. Mike, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Good to catch up. And obviously we met at our previous job in New York or Jersey.
Many moons ago. So when Mike first met me, I think you didn't like me because you thought I was loud. And I think I didn't like you because I thought you were too quiet. So I thought you were standoffish. But then as the world would have it, I ended up moving to California. Mm-hmm. You ended up moving to California. We reconnected as homies. And mm-hmm. it's been really nice to see all the things that you've always done, but it's cool now to see this whole other, I think, like brand side of things. You were so ahead of the game before anybody was doing that. I feel like you were doing that like many, many moons ago of doing these small videos and funnel marketing and all of this stuff. So before we get into that and like the AR way, and I want to hear all about this.
Sure.
I know when, like I said, when we reconnected, you were living in Huntington and you yep. were like literally in your living room, coffee over cardio, printing out labels. I mean, it was really the inception of this company. It was a baby and it yeah. was your baby and you recently sold it. So like, yep. I'd imagine that wasn't an easy decision to make. What would you tell somebody who maybe has had a business for a long time and it's either maybe not profitable or it's this fine line between, okay, I have to leave on my own volition or mm-hmm. I need to pull the plug? Like, how does somebody even know when it's time to walk away from a business or when to sell or maybe just kind of close up shop?
You know, that's a really great question. It's one I battled with myself for quite some time. So people decide to either close shop or sell based on a bunch of different reasons, right? Mine was spreading myself too thin, obviously starting the company with somebody else, and then that partnership foundering. And obviously that being my ex-wife made it a whole nother ordeal, right? But the company was good and I just lost the passion for it. And even though I enjoyed the process and the journey and the creation of it, I really enjoyed the building of the business instead of so much of running the business. So I do like coffee, but it's not a passion of mine. And so I quickly realized that over the 5.5 years that I own the company, that I wanted to, now as I'm getting a little older in life, I wanted to go back more to a purpose-filled mission, which is why I've always had other things that I actually enjoyed more, like what I currently do now. And so for myself, it was really just this chapter of my life or this phase has come to an end. Let me move forward, do something else. Now, people exit for many different reasons. You can exit because you got a good offer. You can exit because you've lost your drive and passion. You can exit because the market's changed. You can shut down shop because you're sick and tired of it. It's not going how you want it. It never started the way you wanted it. But typically when you do exit, you have to have built something that doesn't require you to run the company. And most companies are based around one person instead of the actual product itself. So we were fortunate enough to have a product that people love more than the people that were running it. And so that's why it essentially was sellable. We actually landed contracts with Fruity Pebbles, Cocoa Pebbles, Honeycomb, that are going to be launched essentially probably over the next six months to 2 years as those different flavors and strategies come out. So it was a good point for me to just put a T in it and move on and do stuff that I enjoyed more while the company had a good leg to be able to move forward.
That's, I think, a really important point of differentiation to make too, is so many people go into it having passion and they're excited about it. And they maybe started like a side hustle and they were like, great, I can make money. And then they realize the thing that they love doing the most is the thing that you end up doing the least, because you have to do all of the behind the scenes stuff, building a brand, building a reputation, SOP stuff, logistics every day. And that's very unsexy and takes a lot of the fun out of creating an every day I have to show up kind of business.
Yeah. And honestly, too, like most people start that company based around a passion. And so you also have to determine, do you want your passion to turn into work? And are you okay with that? Or is it okay for your passion to stay your passion and be your hobby? Like, that's why I quit bodybuilding, is because the day I knew that I did not enjoy working out arms, I ruined my hobby. I ruined my go-to de-stressor. And I was actually having more stress around that passion. And then I had to have a reality check and be like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? And why is the number one thing I look forward to every single day now the last thing I want to do every day? And that's when I had to basically just have a reality check and be like, hang on, time out. Let's reassess on why I'm doing what I'm doing.
That's a really, no, that's such a great point. I feel like anybody struggles with that, especially someone like you who's been in the game for so long before this whole social media thing became popular. People work so hard, right? They've put in the time and the effort and they say, okay, well, now I've created my whole identity around this and I don't even like it anymore. And so it's a fine line of that. And then versus feeling like the market is so saturated and inundated now, there's a sense of I'm not enough, or maybe I should, maybe I'm failing because this person grew at this rate. And so I know, like, a mantra I always say to myself is like, quitting is guaranteed failure, right? But like, what advice do you have for someone who maybe is at that crossroads of saying, okay, well, I put in sunk cost fallacy, I put in all this time versus am I just a failure versus imposter syndrome? Like, what would you say to that person?
First thing is, you never fail, right? So as you know, Matt Smoyak, good friend of mine, had to basically tell me throughout the years as he saw me pursuing my dream, he said, the first thing is you're just dumb enough to be successful. And basically what he meant by that in an indirect way was you're willing to take risks, right? If you make A's, you work for usually the B or C student individual that's dumb enough to risk it, because odds are your business is not going to succeed, right? 2% of businesses make $1 million. And then if you're making a margin on that, you might as well go get a corporate job, right? You have a much higher success rate of becoming, you know, an executive somewhere than you do running a successful seven-figure business and making the same money with a lot less stress and getting paid vacation.
Yeah.
So with that being said, it really boils down to like, what it is you want. So you never actually quit, and it's not quitting and it's not failing. It's really just learning, because if you look at it as like, well, this is my one shot, then it's like your entire life is based around that one thing. Well, obviously no. And when I was going through this selling phase, I had a lot of guilt of like, and this was my one pride and joy, because the business was successful. We did 10 million in sales, 239,000 orders, and which is all great and dandy. But at the same time, I was like, man, like, I hate to let this thing go because this is my pride and joy. But at the same time, you look at every person that's had companies, built companies, they just refer to as their first business, because the second one is always better than the first, and the third is always better than the second, because you learn and move forward. So I have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars in the process of building businesses to where now the company we have currently is the best business model and structure. And I'm actually helping more people and serving a bigger purpose than I ever would with coffee. And so it took me a minute to realize, like, hey, get out of like your small-minded window for a second and realize like what the big picture is of what it is you're trying to accomplish and do. But truthfully, at the end of the day, like, what makes you happy? And essentially, after hitting 32 years old, I realized like, hey, this is what I want. And it took me 2 years to navigate to where I'm at today, to get on that path of like trying to find that happiness for myself.
That's how you know you're from the South, because you would always be like, I'm 30 and I should be doing XYZ, and you're still so young and obviously have accomplished a lot. But with that being said, so there's obviously no secret to success. There's a blueprint for success, and everybody, I think, has their own version of what that looks like. At the same time, everybody's on social media always looking for the sound clip of what's this person's morning routine and what is this person doing, right? So it is, to your point, right? Like, very much so. Second time, third time, fourth time, and by the fifth iteration or whatever, you finally start to learn something. So now that you've kind of transitioned into this, you know, the AR way and all of that, like, what's an underrated piece of advice you would give yourself looking back about that, or something that maybe feels easier this time around that the first time around for that new entrepreneur? They're like, I can't keep doing this.
Man, I wrote a post the other day that was like all the things I wish I knew when I started a business. And it really boiled down to understanding that you're up against the wall from the day you decide to do it, right? So it's very hard, very hard. And it's not just hard on you, it's hard on everybody. And I'm a person who grew up in a household to where enough wasn't something I felt I was. And so for myself, I always found my worth in my work. So if the business wasn't good, Mike Krausen wasn't good. Even though I put in the same work I did yesterday and business was good yesterday. But now I'm less of a person. So you're going to have to detach yourself away from the economy, away from the market, away from how's it going. And it's more or less understanding that business is broken up into three pieces. And those three pieces is that day in thirds, if you would. So you're going to have neutral days, you're going to have bad days, you're going to have good days. And for myself, for a long time, I let my bad days take over my neutral days. And then because I was still thinking about a bad day, a good day would turn to a neutral day. And so I never had small wins. I still struggle to celebrate small wins. I haven't taken a day and be like, hey, you sold coffee. Let's go celebrate. I haven't done that. And it's been weeks at this point, right? Bought a house in Missouri. We're moving. Haven't celebrated it. Haven't celebrated AR success in the fast amount of time it's had. This will be the third company that we'll get to where we're going to do seven figures in a short period of time. And I'm like, well, what's next? And I struggle with this, the small wins. And so my suggestion is control your thoughts so that your bad days, you can try to bring to a neutral day. And then every neutral day is a fantastic day because you didn't have to put out any fires. That's a win. And when you do have a good day and you do have a good win, truly sit in it and celebrate it and realize, hey, like, the grass is green right here and look how beautiful the sky is. And the fact that I get to do what I want, when I want, how I want as the business owner. And so, because the last thing you want to do for yourself is create a job inside your own business, because now you just hate your boss and your boss is you.
There is so much power in everything you just said, but this idea of compounding interest in a positive way and in a beneficial way. And I'm sure you notice it, because I am sure you, the kind of people you work with, have some similar buckets of personality traits, but it generally tends to be this overachieving kind of, I have to be the best, grind, I don't care if it kills me, slash, I put all of my external validation in accolades and, you know, XYZ. And so I think it's easier said than done, but taking time to pause in the small victories. I mean, I know that you've kind of gotten into some new, I think sometimes it's also important to separate business stuff from life. Like, I think you've gotten into golf recently, right? Weren't you going on some like retreats in Montana? Like, you were doing some things outside of just being business Mike all the time.
Yeah. So I've traveled a lot more last year. I had 17 trips I went on, business related or personal. And whether it be hiking trips with Paula, or doing something with my dad, or in June I went and spoke at a retreat August, I went and spoke at another retreat. Funny enough, nothing business related. They're all personal. I'm speaking at another one in February, which is also personal, which I feel like is a struggle for me because I feel like I still don't have it together personally. But I do have a story to tell and help people through it because I've had a lot of stuff come down the pipeline for myself. And somehow I just try to keep a positive attitude throughout it all. It's funny because Paul is like, man, like when you roll back, you're like, Rolodex of events, like you've had a tough go. And the fact that she's like, and you still like don't have this bitterness, you always want more. So I took a test the other day that somebody suggested I take, and it was called a Strength Finder. And essentially my results were, I'm a futuristic, which means I'm always looking to the future, which is a plus and a minus, being that I struggle being in the moment. So I always look to the future and I'm always thinking, right, about what's next. What can we do? What can we change? The second one was competition. So I'm always looking to become better, always looking to win, always looking to excel. The other piece was significance, which you're going to be like, that makes sense. It's about the limelight. It's wanting to be recognized, wanting to be seen, wanting to be the leader, wanting to be the person that is basically validated for all their hard work and effort. And I think that falls into the enough category of childhood trauma. The other piece was the strategic. So when you give me a idea, I'm going to think on it and see how like it can be maneuvered and worked, tie that to the future piece, and I'll poke holes in it, which can be rude to the person that gave me their advice that I asked for. But also I can see like, well, that's not going to work because all these things, right? So that's difficult in communication, which is not my forte either. You can ask my past relationships. And then the fifth piece was an achiever. So like every day I have to do something that makes me feel like I did something or I feel like a lazy piece of shit. Mm-hmm. And whether that's like do the laundry or go to the gym or, you know, do X amount in work. And so for myself, I'm just always, my mind's always moving and always churning and always turning. And it was really neat to see those things because it makes me realize too, that throughout this test that I'm seeing myself on what I'm good at is also why I lack all the things that I think I'm also trying to find personally as well. But it's allowed me to push and excel and move forward because it goes, falls underneath that want category. And it's funny because after I took the test, the speeches that I give are really based around wanting versus worries. And so I basically break down inside this speech, what do you focus on? Are you focused on wanting? Or are you focused on worrying? Because if you focus on the worry, you attract the worry. If you focus on the wanting, you attract the wanting. My rap report of everything that I've gone through in life, I still focus on the wants of what I want and not worrying about something else happening again. And so I think it's just an interesting concept to see like where I'm at and learning so much at 34 now, when growing up in Alabama for 23 years, I thought I would be married at 24 with two kids and a white picket fence. Mm-hmm. And here I am like divorced, you know, don't have a set location that I call home. This will be the fifth state that I move to next week. So it's like I'm all over the place and I'm excited actually because it's just another chapter, another phase. And again, just looking to the future of like what's next for Mike Krausen? What's in store?
You are the master of rebranding yourself and your life. I think you do that in such an effortless way. But with
the truth is that there's no option.
Yeah.
I just don't give myself an option.
So do you ever struggle with imposter syndrome then? Because I feel like that's a fine line of people who are like, also because trauma has been having a real glow up over the past few years, right? Big T trauma and little T trauma. And then there's a very fine balance of, okay, I'll blame potentially the way I grew up or my circumstances versus I don't feel good enough still, but I've done all these things. So how do you fit that into the square of life?
Yeah. So I basically train people every day that I have calls with coaches, right? on imposter syndrome. I feel like they can't do this, they can't do that. And I guess for myself, growing up underneath my dad's thumb in construction, I always felt and have always believed that I'm amazing, which you already know.
Oh, we know.
So for me, it was never, can I do it? It's just, is it good to other people? So I've never struggled with, can I do something? Because as a person that's competed and then, you know, moved across different states with no job. And like, I've always said, I'll just figure it out. I'm not worried about it. I'll figure it out. I might not go into a season where I'm going to make six figures next year. And honestly, I didn't make six figures until I was like 28 years old. But I was like, I'll figure it out. I'm just going to go, because if I don't try and don't take the risk, I'll never get the reward. And I just like don't like settling and don't like complacency, because that's not growth. That's not future. That's just like stuck in the past. Like, so I'm worried about something not happening versus focusing on what the want of what I was going to accomplish. And so for myself, I don't think imposter syndrome really hits, because it's just looking at this bank of evidence of like, what have you accomplished and what have you done? But I never, ever second guess my abilities. I just figure out a plan and then just execute, right? Because, and then let's, for example, if we talk about fitness for a sec, talk about emotional eating or compulsive eating. I struggle with that concept, because if you don't want to gain weight, just stop eating. To me, it's a very black and white situation. For some people, it's like, well, but this or that. And I think a lot of it boils down into two words that will change your life. Stop saying I can't, and stop saying you hate something. Because if I can't do this or I can't do that, then you have no belief that you can actually achieve something. So imposter syndrome is set because you are telling yourself you can do something, or somebody else told you that and you believe it. The other piece is hate. So basically, instead of you going and doing something, you're saying, I'm not going to do it because I hate it, which is also you telling yourself that you don't want to do anything that you don't truly love. Well, there's not a lot that we truly love, but every business owner has to take out the trash. And so if you want to succeed, you got to, who was it? Mike Tyson said it, do the things you hate like you love it, and you can push through and do anything that you want. But it's about the mentality that you tie to everything that you do, because everything, if the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. And so for myself, it's like, if you're going to do it, give it 100%, whether you like it or not, still give that full effort, because then when crunch time hits, you're going to give it that all, even if it's something you don't want to do. And I think that's just what's allowed me to keep moving forward, because I never put thoughts in my head that I can't achieve something or I can't do something. I can do the best that I can. That's all I can ask for. That's what I was raised and taught. And so I might not be the best at something, but I'm the best that I can do. And I know that the best that I can do is going to be enough to move the needle. And the truth is that actually is true for everybody, but we stop ourselves short of actually trying, or we stop 4 weeks into us trying, and we never get to see it actually pan out, because we never actually get to learn the things that allow us to keep moving forward.
Yeah. I think it's Les Brown who says, if life knocks you over, then at least you're lucky enough to roll over and, you know, look at the stars. And then that means if it knocked you over, you can get up again. Yeah. And that was actually going to be one of my rapid fire questions that I asked you, because I think there is some similarities with bodybuilding. Like, you and I both have, you played in the bodybuilding world much longer than I did, but there is something to say about the discipline that goes with that, and mm-hmm. discipline versus motivation, and people can sure. go on a whole dissertation with that. But it does teach you sometimes that your feelings don't always matter, and sometimes you have to just do things, and it's that discipline and repetition, and back to that idea of the blueprint of success. There's no secret. There's a certain formula that's not always fun and sexy, but it just works.
Yeah. So with the bodybuilding piece and the discipline piece is, to me, again, it's not a question whether I'm going to do it if I choose to do it. Like, all the cardio that I did was never an option. Like, I'm not going to do it. Like, I hated it, but I still did it. I didn't say that I hated it, but I know that I didn't like it, obviously. But it was what I had to do to achieve the goal, to be the best that I could be, to, if I'm going to do it, like, don't half-ass it. Because the last thing I want to do is get on that stage. As a person that already struggled with, like, are you going to be enough on that stage? Mm-hmm. For myself, like, I thrived in the attention of it. So I wanted to get all the attention, because if I knew that I had slacked along the way and didn't do the things I needed to do, I would just hate myself even more than what I already struggled with. So I put forth 100% effort. I think it's something I heard that to me makes so much sense. And is that anybody that's successful in life has a degree of trauma.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Because you have to push through and have something to prove to yourself or somebody else. Obviously, it can't be too much trauma to where you start to go towards like drugs or something else that pulls you off that path. But there has to be something that's gone on or happened so that you can push through. Because if you have this perfect cushion life, you have no reason to actually try, because everything's just so easy. And I think that's basically the foundation of the silver spoon.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that trials and tribulations are what actually builds you into being successful. And that's why you always hear these, you know, rags to riches stories. It's never from riches to riches story that you hear. It's always from the bottom up, when you started with nothing because you had something to prove.
Yeah. I always tell people as well that it doesn't make for a good story if it just went from 0 to 100. People like to identify and feel seen and heard and say, oh my God, you went through that too. And they want to identify with that chapter, or everybody's calling it the era, in your life right now. And I think it's just part of the plot twist. It adds richness to the story.
It's funny you say that, because I actually had a new coach that signed up with us, and he lost 120 pounds and he has imposter syndrome that he can help people. And I was like, dude, you can help people in a way that I can never help somebody. I don't know what it's like mm-hmm. to be 35 pounds overweight, mm-hmm. more or less 100. And so you might not feel that you were able to help somebody because you don't have this Greek god shape and structure. However, you know what somebody's relating to whenever they say, hey, I'm struggling with not stopping by Chick-fil-A on the way home, mm-hmm. which is, I don't. And so you're able to help people in a different way. And I think that ties back to your own past experiences, developing into who you can help and how you can help them. Because we all can't be the same thing, and we all can't be the best at everything. I'm not a believer that you can do and be whatever it is you want. I don't believe that. I think there are limitations to life, to what you can and cannot do or achieve. But you can be the best that you can be at it. And I feel like oftentimes, because we feel like I can't be the best basketball player in the world, they stop. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I'm sorry, but nothing's going to make you 7 foot, right? Nothing's going to make you be the fastest runner. Nothing's going to make you have 20/20 vision where you can hit a 95-hour baseball that goes against physics. It's just some things you're just born with. And I think when you realize that, then you get to stop playing that imposter syndrome and say, hey, these are the cards I'm dealt. Let's win the hand.
Yeah. Doubling down on your strengths.
Exactly.
I know you don't stop at Chick-fil-A, but I'm pretty sure you used to be a big Froyo guy. So let the people know that you were a frequent flyer at the Froyo places in California.
I was Yogurtland. I was a platinum member, which basically means 240 ounces in a year. I got that in like 3 months.
Shout out to Yogurtland.
Yeah, amazing. The closest one here is like 40 minutes away. And actually, I don't eat that much Froyo anymore. I have it like once every 3 to 4 months. It's probably good for my health.
Yeah.
But I don't eat out as much anymore. I'll be honest with you, I went 375 hard and I stopped eating out so much that now we occasionally go out. And when we do, it's more of less like a date night versus like, hey, let's stop and get something. So mm-hmm. I've never been a person that orders food in, which is probably for my own good, because I'm the person that's like, oh, it's in the house, let's eat it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's like cereal for dinner if it's in here, you know, so.
Well, let's
we
do
all
some
have
fun.
Problems.
We all do. Yes. Problems are big kids, big problems, little kids, little problems. And yes. What is the guy who, what does he always say? The life is a series of problems. We just get better at solving. So.
Yeah. More money and more problems. So just don't think that the more money you make, the easier it's going to get. And actually it's quite the opposite.
Exactly.
You just get more into first world problems, which are just as stressful.
It's true. When all of your robots start talking to each other, Siri and Alexa, it's like just stress, you know? Okay. Let's do some rapid fire-ish questions so people can see what life advice you have to give to your younger self and to all the listeners. We'll start off a little bit easy. So I know you talk about the AR way.
Yeah.
If you had to give a tagline or a bumper sticker for what the AR way is, what would that be?
Conversations over applications. The idea essentially is that if you want to make more sales, have more conversations. No one's just going to go buy your shit because you tell people to buy it. People buy from people, not from business. And so our entire structure of our business model is to just teach you how to have more conversations on the internet, which people struggle to do because of insecurities.
Love it. Okay. What is a morning or a nighttime non-negotiable part of your routine?
My routine's been so bad lately because it's just so inconsistent with the sale and the move. And now I'm working from home versus the warehouse. So the only thing that I do every single day is drink coffee.
That's a routine. That's fine.
It's terrible. But a perfect day for me is like, you know, I was back in the day, like 5 or 6 months ago, I'd get up, wouldn't hit the snooze button. I would read, drink coffee, go to the gym, work out, and then start work. I'd like to get back
ideal.
Into that routine.
Yes, but I feel like your first answer is going to resonate with people more because that's what it is. People get health anxiety and health shamed. They say, I should be doing this. And all these other successful people are doing these 20-step routines. That's why I always ask for what's one thing. That's really simple because back to our conversation earlier, the power of compounding interest in a positive way. Like, cool, coffee, that's my me time. I can chill and set the tone for the day.
Yeah. I mean, because I can pull out this full out routine to where it's like, hey, I get in the sauna and I get in the cold plunge and the hot tub and I have this 4 hour whatever. Oftentimes I feel like, whenever I'm doing something like that, I'm like, man, I feel like I'm just wasting so much time.
I like it.
So for me, it's picking, choosing based on how I feel and what I'm kind of going through.
Yeah. Listen to your body. Listen to what it needs. Okay. What is, you know me, I'm defiant by nature and I like to break the rules sometimes. So what is either a business rule, a marketing rule, or a fitness rule that you think more people should break? People can be super rigid with these things. They develop these principles and they say, I have to do this, or this is the best thing, or I have to do fasted cardio, whatever it is, right? Like, what's a rule in one of these areas that you think people should break up with?
Okay. So as a ex bodybuilder, I believe that like Stairmaster was the go-to, like lots of cardio. The truth is I've looked the best I've ever looked when I simply just walked outside. Understanding that we're trying to reduce stress in the body because we have stress all the time. And so a simple walk outside, in my opinion, will get you leaner and feeling better than any piece of cardio equipment you can do.
Preach. Love that. Okay. Let's see. What's another good one? Oh, what's a piece of love advice you'd give your younger self? I know this one's going to hit hard.
If it's not a fuck yes, it's a fuck no.
I'm pretty sure I gave you that advice.
You did.
Many moons ago.
I didn't listen.
You didn't. Well, you know, you listened when you needed to, right? Everything always works out as it's supposed to. Okay. What is a lesson that took you the longest to learn in life but had the most profound ripple effect. I'm a slow learner by nature, and I will go back and relearn a lesson quite a few times. But then once I get that lesson, I got it. So what is a lesson for, it could be business, career, life, love, friends, leisure.
A lesson?
Because they say the lessons come before the blessings.
Yeah, I think my biggest one that I'm currently sitting with the most is meeting people where they're at versus where you want them to be. You can't force somebody to run a marathon. You have a better chance of doing it with them and then meeting them where they're at and then coaching them through it. And so this is really going to go back to anything in life, whether it be personal or business. You want to help somebody, you got to meet them where they're at. You can't tell somebody to go to the gym 7 days a week. We have to start going once. We got to start the walk. You can't tell people to work with you. You have to chat with them, see where they're at, and then educate them on why they should work with you. I think the more that we can get into the psychology of other people, the better we're going to be able to connect with those individuals to help them move in the direction that either we want them to or point them towards their goals.
Love it. All right, last two questions, and then you can tell everybody where they can follow you and work with you and all the things that are Mike Krausen. Okay, so you've obviously evolved a lot over the years, personally, professionally. So how has your definition of success evolved over the years? Like, what do you define as success currently?
So when we were in California, I had two palm trees.
Flourish. I forgot about that.
Okay. Which is like flourish on my wrist and the palm trees on my arm. So quick backstory. I had these two palm trees and I would talk to them every day. I would tell them to flourish and soak up all the sun, whatever, whatever. And it became a mantra. But essentially what it was is I wanted to own a piece of property that you could plant palm trees in, because that would be deemed as paradise. And to me, that would be a level of success that I had achieved. I've quickly come to realize that where you live doesn't necessarily determine what success is. There's not a dollar amount that determines success. For myself, I'm still figuring out what success looks like for somebody that can't do enough. And so for me, success looks like just constant growth and being happy with the ride. There's no amount of money that's going to make a difference, you know, on that happiness level. And now that social media basically showcases that, people that I give you $10 million tomorrow, but that's not going to make you happy in the morning. It's just going to make you buy shit. And so for myself, it's really just trying to achieve an internal gratitude. And I quickly learned that gratitude is one of the things, the act of being grateful is actually what creates gratitude, not just the list of things that you say. And so my one piece of advice I'd give to people is name three things that you're grateful for every day that are different than the day before. So you say my spouse, my house, food. Great. The next day, say something else. But it's the active part of having to think and turn that piece of the brain on, because gratitude and anxiety work with the same piece of the brain. And so if you have anxiety, you cannot be grateful. And if you're grateful, you cannot have anxiety. And so if you can focus on being grateful, you're turning that on and turning off anxiety, which is going to have you this feel of enough, this feel of gratitude, this feel of success, because you do realize, and everyone that's listening to this, if you are able to listen to a podcast, you are just fine. And so that's where it really falls down for me. So it's those activating that gratitude piece for myself, which I want to do more of. But to me, I think that success is just the mindset of being grateful.
Love it. That was very eloquent. You've really grown and evolved. I'd love to see this for you. Okay, last question. Kind of similar, a little bit different. So let's say you are having a bad day. You feel like quitting. You're having imposter syndrome. You feel like failing. You want to stop at Chick-fil-A. You want to get all the points at Froyo. It's a bad day, right? What is a bumper sticker mantra that you would tell your younger self or your present self to get you unstuck from that day, right? Because again, people love, on theory, these things sound so great. There's this list of, I should do this and this guy, and I'm going to list out 30 things. Sometimes you can't do 30 things. You can't list out 40 things, right? So what is maybe one mantra that kind of brings you back to the stillness or gets you out of the unstuckness?
I think it's going to go back to what I said a second ago, is that at the end of the day, you're okay.
I love that.
Because no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, personal, business, whatever situation, as long as somebody doesn't have a gun to your head, you're perfectly fine and you'll figure it out. Oh, it's just a moment. It's just a day. Tomorrow's another one. And 20 minutes from now, everything can go back to the way it was. And so just realizing, like, hey, it's all gravy. And you just reset and move forward.
At the end of the day, you're going to be okay. Oh, man, you should put that on a sweatshirt. Anywho, okay, so tell people, I'm going to obviously in the show notes put all of your links, but tell people how they can work with you, where they should follow you. Sure. If you have any kind of, I think you have a Facebook group as well, so maybe just plug City.
Sure. Mike_Krausen is my IG handle, basically my handle on everything. What we do is simply is help coaches and consultants get more leads inside their business with organic strategies, basically diving into five pillars: building a personal brand, how to post on social media, how to get leads, how to close those leads, and then how to keep those clients long-term. We do all that through basically CRM, SMS, text message, and the works, all in one, done for you. That's essentially my next phase of life, and my objective is to help more people. By 2030, we're projected to have 70% of the population be overweight. That's sickening to me to think about, that we're that uneducated. But the truth is that I don't think we're uneducated. I think we're just that lazy. And so if we want, as health practitioners, to make the world a better place, we have to outmarket McDonald's, Big Pharma, all the things that are basically holding us back. And so all those things rely on us as educators and practitioners to make that happen. And so that is now my new purpose and new mission, is to see how many people and lives that we can change. As somebody that has struggled with mental health pieces as well, as going through all my shit, that's really what it all boils down to, because you can't change anything physically if you can't fix it mentally. So the more I can help people in their own realm, the more that they can pass down that knowledge as well. And this is the easiest way for me to do it, because if I can teach practitioners to be better, then they can help other people be better. And so essentially that's what we do.
I love that. And so all of that will be Instagram. Is that where you live the most? Or are you like playing around?
I do live the most on Instagram. Link in my bio. You can join our Basic Coaches Facebook group from there. I've got a free psychology mini course as well, to meeting the lead where they're at versus where you want them to be, learning a lot of what the AR way is. And that's essentially just understanding our approach to have more conversations. Instagram is primarily our main focus.
Well, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to chat with me. I loved catching up with you, obviously, and I am excited to see all of your new flourishing next chapters of your life.
Yes.